What's up, everybody? We are back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
A Shot of Lime production.
And guys, today we have a very special... You saw that. It's thick, huh? It's thick this time. We have a very special guest, a man that needs no introduction, a UFC Hall of Famer, UFC light heavyweight champion, UFC heavyweight champion, Strikeforce heavyweight champion. I mean, just champion and champion and champion on champion. High school three-time state champion. Didn't get the NCAAs though, hey, but we ain't gonna talk about that.
Oh, you old hater.
We ain't gonna talk about that. A man that we go way back with, myself, Henry, Olympian, Mr. Daniel Cormier.
Thank you, boys. Thank you. I was kind of wondering. I was like, man, I want to go on these boys' podcasts bad.
Yeah, really?
But you know what's kind of messed up, dude?
What?
So I got a manager.
Right.
I got brothers. Stop. I got brothers. I got brothers. My brother.
Yeah.
My brother. Right? We consider each other those things, knowing each other that long.
Right.
My manager, I get an email. Daniel, you've been requested to be on the Pound for Pound.
You're the lucky winner.
No, Daniel, you've been requested to be on the Pound for Pound. I'm like, yo, did you lose my number? Did you lose my number or did you lose my number? Because when I ask y'all to do it, I go directly to y'all.
Right.
I don't get it. It was kind of insulting.
No.
It was insulting because then it feels like our relationship isn't as true as I thought it was.
Okay. But then here's the flip side of that. The flip side is our relationship with you is so strong. And we feel so deeply about our connection to where I never want it to be a burden. I never want it to be a situation where it feels like I'm exploiting my friendship.
Yeah.
So you got to go through the proper channels because, hey, it's people out there that you get a little too familiar with, you get too friendly with.
He's got Hollywood, bro.
You get too friendly with.
You know what he's telling me? That I'm exploiting our friendship. Because I've been interviewed him five times.
Facts.
The very first interview on my channel was him.
Oh yeah.
Facts. Hey, you don't exploit your friendship with me? Hey, how many checks have I gotten from the other show?
From my check-ins?
No.
Which one?
Yeah, check-ins.
Oh yeah, when you check in? Man,
I've done a few of those.
I'm doing bad on that channel. I ain't getting paid. They don't pay me yet. I'm still waiting on my check. When I get my check, you get your check.
Oh, you sure?
But I'm gonna tell you one thing.
We got it on film.
Y'all doing good. I like this, man. Y'all doing a good job. I see all these cameras.
I see y'all too. Y'all got the whole good guy, bad guy thing going on. I mean, what's up
guy,
with that?
Fat guy.
Hey, bro, why you coming at me? You see why?
Hey, that's your boy, dude.
That's why Henry be getting done dirty. Henry, bro, I don't know what happened. I thought I'd be getting disrespected. I thought they'd be disrespecting me, but they be on your neck, Henry.
I love it. Bring it, suckers. I love it.
Yeah.
Henry don't mind it.
It's good to be the hill, dude.
You
right?
Like it?
Yeah, it's cool.
Nice, whatever.
You know what I'm saying? Like we can all be GSP, right?
I mean,
yeah.
DC, what and we've talked a little bit about this, is you're such a personality now. It's like the I don't want to compare you, but it's like the Shannon Sharp thing. It's like the Steve Harvey thing.
Yeah.
You're so loved by everyone to where you're like the uncle now. You're like DC, the uncle.
Yeah.
To where, in a sense,
and I know you
forget. They forget that. You gonna get spicy. Some of these dudes be disrespectful. Oh, that's just Uncle DC. Like, he can't. They forget that.
Yeah, a little bit.
You a multiple time world champion, Hall of Famer.
But it's not even like, it's just like, it's not even that. It's not even just that, right? Like, the Hall of Fame and all this other stuff is cool, but, like, I'm from Lafayette, man. Like, I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana. Like, come at me. You know, like, it's just, and I don't like the disrespect, but reality is I don't really care that much. A lot of times, Usman and Henry, you guys do understand that when people, it's very rare that we get what you're getting from Bilal Muhammad right now.
Right.
We get it from the dude that needs...
Right.
You are me. Mm-hmm. What you two have done as active fighters, it's amazing, right? Because you guys have not done as well recently. You're both great champions. But you have done so much great work in the past that the active champions are saying your names, almost invoking you back into the title picture. With me, there is no fight at the end of the rainbow. So what they're doing is trying to use me to elevate them.
Right.
you don't get what you two get. You two get, you guys are getting something that is not normal from champions going, I want him because I know what Kamaru Usman is. He's one of the greatest welterweight of all time. I want Henry because I know Henry's one of the greatest fighters of all time. So I know that I can, if I can fight these guys and beat these guys, it helps me. But at the end of the day, you don't know if you're beating that man.
Right.
It's still a fight.
Right. And that, and the dark side comes out too, yeah, because it's like, I'll stomp you. I'll get in there and put hands on you still.
Yeah.
So there's that side. It's dealing with that conflict that goes back and forth. But DC, for you, man, I mean, what a career. You know, starting out in high school, doing what you did in high school, and then going to, you went to Colby, didn't you?
I did, Colby College. You went to Colby College,
61-0.
Yep, I did.
Did you go undefeated? I didn't know that.
I did, yeah.
Two-time champion.
Good in junior college.
And then went to Oklahoma State.
Yep.
And was doing your thing. Did you all make it one time or twice?
One time. My junior year, I was the third seed. Got beat twice. Yeah, it was tough.
Mm.
Got in a fight, too.
Who beat you?
I lost to this kid named Doug Lee from Oregon. And then I lost to, I lost to a dude named Cash Edwards. I lost to two dudes from the Pac-12. Wow. I was tripping, man. I don't know what happened. Then I got in a fight. You remember TJ Hill? That little short dude?
Yeah.
Man, he was out there making All-American. I was jealous, so I pushed him. As I'm walking off the mat, I just lost. He runs to 125, so he getting ready to fight again. So I see him. He about this tall. Remember how small TJ Hill was?
He's not lying.
TJ Hill was, small. He make Henry look like a giant. I look at TJ Hill, little ass. I was like, man, I can't stand you. So I pushed his ass. John Smith was like, you going to tag him? I was like, coach, I got to take my hand out on somebody.
That's crazy.
It's been good, Daniel, because I feel like a lot of your wrestling career, and particularly in 08, you know, obviously it was hard, dude. You know, same Olympic team together, me, you, Marco, Askren, Schwab, Rovat, you know, maybe, you know, we did it. Obviously, I'm the only one that pretty much from the freestyle team that, you know, brought back a medal. But I also noticed, too, like there was still that, like, you know, obviously you didn't get a chance to compete, but I also feel like it put a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And you decide, I was like, you know what? I'm done with wrestling, but I'm going to use this hardship, what happened to me at this tournament. Because I'll be honest with you, DC, everybody was pissed at you.
Mad.
You're
America's, everybody was mad.
You're America's most wanted. You did everybody make the weight, but you couldn't compete. And but you were able to translate that into mixed martial arts.
I was honestly, man, like a lot of times you don't recognize what's best when you're in the situation. Bro, I was already in conversation with universities to take head coaching jobs. If I would have went to that Olympic Games and did what I was supposed to do, right? I got third in the world a year before. I was going to probably... The guy that I beat multiple times, him and I were wrestling first match, he ended up getting third because they had two bronze, right? The Cuban. If I would have wrestled and placed, I would have been done. I would have never did this. I would have went off to some small university and coached at that university, made 150 grand a year, and been happy. But then I had to ask myself some hard questions when I got home. And you start to see the people that you think are your friends and they start to change around you, right? You can still do this, right? You can still be the club coach here. But it's like, yeah, the love's not there no more. You just feel it. So I was like, I'm out, man. I'm going to go to San Jose and I'm going to start trying to fight.
You know what's crazy is that, now I don't know if this is the person that actually got you in, like started to fight, but I just saw a post of the Javier Mendes today.
Yeah.
And he talked about King Mo. And how's it that King Mo brought the
Khabib, Khabib
and all of them. I'm just like, whoa, I did not know that.
Yeah, he did.
And I almost feel like, did King Mo bring you there too?
So what happened was I'm managed by the same guys, Dwayne Zinkin and Bob Cook. Zinkin Entertainment. Dwayne was an All-American wrestler at Fresno State. Mm-hmm. His brother, Harold, was an All-American. And the other brother, Nicky, wrestled there. Great wrestlers. He called me in 2001 after I made the NCAA finals because his uncle was like, this kid can fight. I told him, I said, I want to try to make the Olympic team. In that year, after I was done with wrestling, I tried to like go to Arizona State. I was like, maybe I'll wrestle one more year to try to get it right. But my heart wasn't in it. I was sitting in the gym at Stillwater High School. My nephew was living with me. He was a senior. He's playing AAU basketball. I went to the bathroom and I called Dwayne and I said, hey, I think I'm ready to try this. But Mo was already telling me, you'll be good at it. You're going to be good. Mo was a very influential. I went to San Jose. You know what Dwayne and Bob did, though? To not try to trick me, they flew me to San Jose to see AKA. Then I had to go meet Rashad. I don't know who he was managed by at the same time, but I met his manager. Then they flew me out to Southern California to meet with King Mo's management. They didn't try to shield me from meeting all these different managers. They put me in front of them to show me that what they had as a product was better. And once I saw that, I was like, yeah, I'm going to San Jose. I did the back and forth thing for a while, month in Oklahoma, month in California. And I was like, man, you know, if I'm going to do this, I got to be in California full time. So I moved to San Jose.
Wow. That's, I mean, crazy. It's kind of my journey is similar to those journeys because it's, and I've told, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but obviously the first time that I was hearing about you in high school.
Yeah.
Because when I was in high school, you guys were already on the world team.
Yeah.
And you guys are training and it's you and King Mo on the world team.
Yep.
And that's how strong representation is. And I didn't realize that at the time. You know, I'm just a kid growing up and I happened to be, me and my buddy Aaron happened to be the only two black kids on the team.
Yeah.
And think about it, it's Texas. Wrestling at that point is not the sport that we gravitate towards because football and basketball, these are things that we see. So we're wrestling and we're starting to see you guys on the cover in the Win magazines and the things like that. And I remember the first time you guys were trying to get into the Fargo Dome to go in and practice. And I remember me and this was during the Real Pro Wrestling days.
When you
guys were doing Real Pro Wrestling. And we had just watched you guys compete at Real Pro Wrestling. I think you were representing, was it Oklahoma?
Me and Moore, Oklahoma something. Slam.
Yeah, like Slam. And we remember seeing you guys, and I think you spanked somebody while you were arresting them.
It was Tommy.
Yeah, you spanked
Tommy Rollins.
Tommy Rollins.
You actually spanked someone. And I remember we saw that, and we were just like, "Oh man, there's a guy that looks like us that's excelling at this level of wrestling, and it gives you that extra motivation." So I remember when we saw you guys trying to get in to practice while there was a break. So we ran up and we was like, "Yo, King Mo!"
Swear to DC. God, I gave you a hug.
You didn't give me no damn hug.
Don't be an asshole. I swear to God, I hugged you. You did not give me no hug. I swear to God, I hugged you.
But I would tell you this though, you did, you did dap us up, and you was just like, you know, talked a little to us for a little bit, asked us what, and then my friend Aaron was like, "Yo, I know what you did. I saw what you did at Real Pro Wrestling, and you, I remember you going, what you see? He was like, "Yeah, we saw you spank that dude." And you just joked with us. And it was just that little moment, that little interaction that was so meaningful. We was like, "Oh my God, there's these guys that look like us. They deal with similar circumstances that we have to deal with in the sport. And they're at that level. Oh, we can get there." Yeah. And I can't tell you what that did for me because and King Mo at the time was
He's from Texas. Yep.
Went to a D2 school.
D2 school. Yep.
Was national champion. Transfer, I'm going to be honest right now, that was my goal. I was okay, I'm getting out. I'm going to I was in Nebraska Kearney, became a national champion. I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to Oklahoma State." And I remember I'm kind of slowly talking back and forth with, you know, how I can get in. And I remember they big dogged me.
Really?
They big dogged me.
Come on, stop lying.
They big dogged me.
Well, Mo was at Central Oklahoma, so it was right up the street.
So when Mo, yes, I understand that. But, you know, at the time, I got word, "Oh, yeah, we take care of your books." I'm like,
"Oh, my God."
I'm like,
"Books?
I just became a national champion." And you saw, and I you know,
books
I never.
Cost like $300.
I never, I'm like.
John Smith is a hard ass too, man.
Hey, brother, you know, John got us.
Yes. And I'm like, "Come on, really? I'm a national champion. I've never lost to Oklahoma State kid. I've beat every one of them."
Yeah.
I really, my junior, senior year, I beat every starter Oklahoma State had at 74. And I remember, "Really? You going books?" But I wanted to follow that path. I'm like, because I was looking things up. "Oh, King Mo is a national champion, D2. Oh, I'm going to be national champion. Oh, King Mo, we went to Oklahoma State. I'm going to go to Oklahoma State." When it didn't work out, I was like, "All right, screw it." But I just want to let you know how powerful that was. And then watching you guys go train for the Olympics, and I'm like, "Okay, that's what I'm going to do."
Yeah.
And I just followed that journey all the way to seeing you guys in MMA. And like you mentioned, guys like King Mo saying, "Hey, yo, come do this.
You can do this.
You can do this." And it was something just so powerful about that for me, to where Rashad did the same thing to me. And I know Rashad was kind of one of those guys.
Guys with me too, yep.
And he would talk a little bit about that. What was it for you? Who was the representation for you to say, you know what? Yeah, I could do this.
Well, it's like that's why growing up in Louisiana, right? So we watched the wide world of sports on ABC because it was free. TV was free. Right. We got Channel 3, Channel 10, Channel 15. It was CBS, Fox, and ABC. And Channel 7 was NBC. You could do it on those spinning TV things. Like,
right.
You turn it to the U. Well, you turn it to the U, and if you spin that thing enough, you get Channel 15.
You got the hanger in the back.
Hanger. Hang it off the back. That's crazy, huh?
You could, like,
and like the small the
TV. Like,
boom, boom. That make the line stop squiggling. Shut up, Henry. This dude here, man. Henry, a spoiled kid. But we'd watch that, but that's why all I cared about was boxing. Because those guys looked like us. Sugar Ray Leonard looked like us. Mike Tyson looked like us. George Foreman looked like us. Larry Holmes looked like us. So we looked at all these guys as the champions of the world. Representation means everything. So when I started to leave Louisiana, it was about making sure that the way I was viewed was good to those young men that I know coming behind me. Because it's hard, man. It's not easy. Like, it's not easy to have the strength to not fall into the trap. There's a trap. When you ain't got no money and everybody else is selling dope, you want to sell dope to make some money. Right. I tried that shit one time. It was not good. Bro, I swear to God, it was the worst. I was the worst drug dealer of all time. Bro, I was 16 years old. We made fake drugs.
Oh, that's not a good start.
It's bad.
That's really
going to
get you shot.
Dude, I give it to the guy. He tastes. He realized it was fake. Start chasing me. He caught me. It was fast. I gave him the money back. I was like, shit, it's a bad product, man. Here you go. Last time I ever tried that. I was so scared, though. I was so scared that this dude was going to hurt me. Because I was a kid. I was like, I was a state champion wrestler. I'm like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
But I fell into the trap. So imagine other people, they fall into the trap. It's like drugs were just crazy in my neighborhood, man. When you ain't got nothing, it's easy to think that easy way is the way you want to take. So I try to make sure that I give back and I try to show the kids the way to do things, because shit, it ain't easy, man. It's hard to stay the course.
Yeah, I remember one of the stories that you told me. This was a long time ago. It was the Whataburger story. It was a shooting.
My cousin got shot. That was crazy.
Listen to this.
In Stillwater.
Yeah,
bro, that was bad.
Was it in Stillwater? I thought it was
in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Bro, we were coming back from Whataburger, and these guys started fighting. They started fighting with us and my cousin PJ. He was like grabbing the dude, and I guess he had a gun, shot him in his arm. But PJ's like a fat dude, so like his arm was fat. So his arm, like that jiggle, kind of saved him a little bit. That's my boy, though. But he got shot. I was like, man, I got a dude. Like, but this time, I wasn't even involved. I was just around it. And you could just see how quickly college, man, you're in college, you're just hanging out.
Right.
See how quickly things can go sideways on you.
Yeah.
I was lucky.
I will say this, Daniel. You've always been a fighter. I think everybody from I talked to Kevin Jackson. He's like this mug's always been fighting.
Ravenak,
yeah. Because I remember when we were on the world team together, and you know we're all like somebody bumped into one of the Zaddicks.
They tried to jump me, man.
Both of them tried. Actually, you're trying to jump both of them. You mess with Mike, and then Bill got involved. He's like, you know what? Like, bring
both of your asses over here.
I remember that. Or the time when you wrestled the Cuban.
Oh my
and
God.
I don't know what happened. I think
he slapped me.
You threw a freaking uppercut
because
and caught
him. Slapped me. he slapped me first. The Cuban slapped me. So I just get out of college. And bro, they all want to wrestle hard in college. Yeah. Henry too. Henry was the dude that wrestled hard. 15 seconds left in the match. There's a little bit of, I understood that as I got older. I'm up by 3-4 points. Dude's kind of like, all right, they just stand there. 5 seconds. I'm still wrestling the dude. Dude stood up and just slapped the taste out of my mouth, man. We in the middle of freaking Venezuela. First international tournament. Me and the dude wrestling. I'm winning by 3 points, maybe four. There's a good 7 seconds left, but I'm still pulling on his head. I'm not following the gentleman's agreement.
Yeah,
like, hey,
you
stand look at me.
Yeah,
I stand look at you.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. He stood up and slapped me. So I punched him. What am I supposed to do? Let him slap me? Disrespectful. He's disrespectful, dog.
Talk about your obviously your senior year in college, you didn't, you know, achieve what you wanted to achieve. But there was obviously a guy in college who's was just doing what hadn't been done up until that point. And talk about your talk about that match, that rivalry in college. And he also took it international too.
Yeah, he won the Olympics.
You know,
yeah, silver and second.
So who Kamar was talking about, he's talking about
Kale Sanderson.
Yeah.
So your rivalry with Kale Sanderson, who is obviously still the considered
the best coach, no?
The best collegiate wrestler
of all
ever.
Time.
Over
and
Dable.
Now,
well, he's the best coach now.
Now.
But I mean, they've won 9 of 10 national championships. Yeah. It's crazy what they're doing over there, bro. Yeah. First off, this is just me. I don't really love to call things a true rivalry if it's all goes one-sided. He beat me. He was a guy that I wrestled a lot and never got over, right? Gutsalov too. Those guys were good wrestlers. Right. They didn't lose to me. So I get the word rivalry. It is because you see that same person showing up time and time again. But you got, I think in order to make it true, that's be like the Celtics. In the Lakers, where they were going back and forth.
Yeah.
And Tyson Holyfield, that's not a rivalry.
Right.
Love Uncle Mike, but it's not necessarily a rivalry. But it was awesome because it made me separate from everyone else. You know, while I got second, my tournament that year was pin, tech, major decision, pin to get to the finals. But it made me separate from everybody. Right. Because I knew I was preparing for a guy that was just so special. But then after that, because I was preparing for him, I get to the Olympic level. And now a guy that was only an NCAA finalist becomes a 6-time national champion all in a row without giving up any points. And it just got bigger gap and bigger gap and bigger gap. So it was just this ability to prepare for the best that allowed for me to separate from most. And it would seem unfortunate to some that I've been in times in that situation with multiple people. Had it with Kale, had it with Gutsalov, right? Remember Hey Dari and I?
Yeah.
So Hey many great matches, another guy. And then John Jones in fighting, right? It's like you think, man, this dude has been second quite a bit. But reality is, it only made, that's why when John kept getting into trouble, I would just kill everybody else because I was preparing to fight a guy that many consider the best of all time. So I think it was a blessing for me to have those guys in my career.
Right.
Yeah. Did you ever get Gutsalov or?
No, never got Gutsalov.
The Iranian? What's the Iranian? Hey Dari.
Yeah. Hey Dari. Remember in the Olympic medal match, the Olympic bronze medal match, I'm winning 2-0 with a minute left. I tricked it off.
Damn.
I wasn't ready to be the man.
I remember that, dude.
Mm. I was not ready to be that guy. Like, I just wasn't ready.
Right.
So, but what triggered DC? And plus, I remember that Hadari, when he beat you, that dude was like
dancing.
He was doing
I remember I pushed him. I was a sore dude.
What triggered DC? I mean, there's something that it's almost like, you know what? I had enough. Like, I'm out to conquer now. And then, well, obviously, you did it. Well, you became a 2-division champ.
Yeah. Well, I always worked really hard. I always worked really hard, but then. Honestly, man, I think a lot of it comes down to chance, like circumstances. You got to have the right circumstances. I had the right circumstance with Cain Velasquez being my training partner. I had the right circumstances with John Jones just being John Jones. I had great circumstances because by winning the light heavyweight championship, defending the light heavyweight championship, him being gone for so long that they didn't know that he would come back, I'd beaten everybody else. They said, hey, you get an opportunity to fight Stipe now, right? Become the world champion there. It was just circumstance plays a lot into your journey. You know, you, Kamaru, fought so many guys before they gave you an opportunity. To where it made it to where you were undeniable and you fought Tyron and you just kind of broke him. But because he was so good, everybody viewed you as, he's even better than we thought. So then you start smashing these dudes. You, right? You got beat by DJ. Everybody thought, Henry's done. All that did was motivate you.
Yeah.
And you got better and better and better. Then you won 125 first or 135 first?
25.
Yes. And DJ had went to one or had?
Then they once I beat him, he
you beat DJ.
Yeah,
you beat DJ. He took off, but it was like circumstances. If he didn't beat you that way the first time, would you have gotten that much better that fast to go beat him the next time? Circumstances. He propelled you because he was so great, and I think that I was a beneficiary of that on a number of occasions.
All right, guys, we're taking a quick break from our amazing interview with DC to give a special shout out to our partners at Underdog Fantasy, the easiest and the best place to play fantasy sports. Their pick'em game is as easy as choosing higher or lower on a variety of player stats like significant strikes, takedowns, and knockouts for UFC Fight Night, Moicano versus Saint Denis. Underdog also has picks for every major sports, including all of the incredible football games this weekend. New users this week get a first deposit bonus up to $1,000 and a new customer free pick. Both new and existing users get a Patrick Mahomes free pick. As always, Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and New York. Use code P4P as pound for pound to support the show. Click the link down below to get started. Now let's get back to our amazing interview with Daniel DC Cormier. And I say that's, I call that luck. Because luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yep.
And you prepared enough to where
when the chance
when those
came,
lanes open up, you ran right through them.
Right through the middle.
And talk about just your MMA journey, your career. Starting out in Strikeforce. And I remember watching you in Strikeforce and you just wrestling everybody, picking them up. But
I
then
was
you
scared.
Were
but, you know, but not then really,
you
was, man.
But then you, you were throwing hands with them because your wrestling was so good. Everyone's so worried about the wrestling. They have to respect that to where, of course, it stops people from wanting to just open
they
up
know
and
I'm
do
shooting
what they
on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you ain't gotta duck down low to get down.
I just
grab their legs and do that little flip that she was doing.
You know that was always them. What? That wasn't me. I wasn't doing that. I was trying to just finish
the
high crotch.
Of course,
but
yeah.
But because don't know how to defend,
yeah, right.
they flip.
Flying them.
Right.
That was so crazy. Everyone's like, this dude's got a signature move. I'm like, that's on them.
But,
if they literally just keep their weight down, they won't flip.
But at some point, you did start doing it on purpose.
No, I would just try to.
You
I,
did
Kevin
it on
Jackson,
purpose.
Kevin Jackson used to always teach us that, right? Run the pipe, elbow deep. Get him up in the air. Yeah.
Yes.
And them dudes start flipping. The first time Dan Henderson flipped, I could not believe it. Gustafson flipped, man.
You took him to this and flipped him on purpose.
He was so long. I think he would like, okay, so pick up a ladder. It starts to tilt forward. He tilted forward, so I just, okay, go.
You helped him. Let's agree.
He was so
tall. Let's meet in the middle.
The problem is we meet in the middle. But these guys, like, again, when you get the outside arm, they're so light. They're just so light to lift.
Right.
And when you're doing things the right way, I learned very early in fighting that if you make the big guy balance, they can't do it. Like you guys, if you start doing all the shit I do to those guys, they're just like, okay, bounce, bounce, move.
Yeah.
Big guys can't balance. They fall.
Right.
So I move them side. I move them left. Then I move them right. Then I kick at their foot. And like and they're like tripping over themselves. Then I grab a front headlock and I just make them carry my weight. Then they're tired. Then when they fall on the ground, I try to cover them on the mouth like this. I just was doing all this random stuff to them. Like, it's crazy, dude. Fighting was the best. I ain't going to lie, man. I always love fighting, but even in sparring and fighting, when you start getting a dude where he kind of tired, that's the best.
Yeah,
you just beat on him, like beat on him and just like embarrass him. Smother him with your fingers like that. Grab their face. I wish I could put two hands on their face.
You sick.
Could you put two hands on their face? Next fight, try to put two hands on somebody's face. Bro, no. I watched Austin O'Connor wrestle a dude. He was so tired. God, I wish I tried this. The dude was so tired, and he was on his knees, so he was covering his head like this. Come on, he didn't want to get punched. Austin grabs him by the side of his head and smashes it into the canvas, bro. I've never seen it.
What?
The commentators were like, is that legal? I was like, I think. Dude, grabbed him by the side of his face, picked it up, and smashed it into the ground.
That
isn't that the
be
best
legal.
When those dudes, when they're tired, bro?
I think that's what one thing that makes it.
Henry want to play with this pretty. Henry want to play pretty like this. Yeah, take these dudes down, man. Smother them. Just jump on top of them and hold them.
That's Henry all. That's Henry. All.
Yeah, he won't do that. He won't do that.
Hey, hold up. I want two bells. I want two bells.
Yeah, yeah, you did. Come on, man, it's too pretty. Take these dudes down.
Dude, I gotta, you know.
Usman just be taking dudes down. When Kamaru fight his fight. And you just take them dudes down, they can't do nothing with you, man. At the end of the day, they still can't wrestle at that level.
And that's one thing that I will say that I wish Kamaru would have brought back when he fought Leon the second time, was back his level changes and back his takedown.
Push
changes.
Him to that
I felt like when you're talking about...
The second time, I had 8 takedowns.
Yeah.
I had 8 takedowns. See, the thing is, it got to a point. Well, this is something that we all have to understand, and we all do this, and we know it. Because you get to a certain point where... You're the man.
Yeah.
They came to see you.
Yeah, you got to show them a little
you
bit.
You got to show them a little
You got to give them a show a little
you
bit.
You got to give them
you
a show.
You got to give them a show.
Because this ain't, this. Why would they have to pay money to come
see you?
Because
they just don't pay for the pay-per-view.
Exactly.
And we've all been on the side where we make a lot of money on pay-per-view, and then some pay-per-views, you're like, man, what happened?
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's like, when you give them a show, they come back.
You got to come back and
talking about shows, obviously you're a showman. And I know I know we talked about it before, how you grew up watching WWE, Randy Savage. So did I. So did we. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all with these WWE kids or whatnot. How were you able to translate that while still being you as you were competing?
You know, in the beginning, I tried to do what I thought I was supposed to do. I was the Olympian. I needed to be proud and prideful. And then after a while, I was like, man, this... Nobody cares.
So Henry can relate
to facts. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm winning titles. I'm undefeated. It was until I started calling out John Jones. I'm like, yo, we got to fight. Because everybody gets the reference, right? I'm the kid at the wrestling tournament that's always in the bracket.
Right.
Because there's one dude that you see every weekend. Every weekend. When you're from 11 years old until you get older, there's one dude that you're like, man, I know it's about to be hard, man, every time. This dude about to be tough.
Right.
So
he showed up. And
you start looking at him. Oh, man. But like,
is he looking at
it
me?
Was that. When our rivalry started, or when our fighting started, is when people started to care more. Now, initially, they would boo me, and I'd be like, what is going on?
Right,
Like, I know who this dude is. Yeah. You know who he is. But you're booing me.
You talking about Jones?
Yeah. I'm like, come on, man. This dude's... I know who this dude is. You know who he is. But y'all booing me. So now I would try to tell him not to boo me. That would make him boo me worse.
Yeah.
So finally, I'm like, yo, I don't care what y'all say.
Right.
And so once I did that, I remember being in Boston or Buffalo, and they're booing. Boo! John's in the crowd. I'm talking trash to him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on him. I'm on his neck.
I fought on that card.
I'm on his neck. I'm on his brother's neck. I'm on his neck. I'm in the cage. I'm the man. I got the belt.
Yeah.
You still on the sideline. I'm on him. They booing me. Joe Rogan said, I don't understand this. I said, man, let them keep booing me. I get money. I'm getting belt after belt after belt. They start booing louder. But then the numbers came in. I was like, they watching?
Yeah. Right.
Then the next one, John and I fought. And then we did a massive number. Because you always need that guy. You can't do this alone. Conor can do it alone. That's it.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a dance partner.
So what advice would you give somebody that's trying to, because man, you can go the humble route, but the humble route will also freaking put you through storms and fires before you actually get to the belt.
The humble route, actually, it takes longer.
Exactly.
But it can't be non-authentic.
I don't think it's forced.
It's got to be authentic.
Yeah.
You got to be, when I talk to you guys, because we spent so much time together at the training center, international tours, were different. That you start giving them glimpses into that, and they're like, I can't stand this dude. I cannot stand this dude.
I even got down there. I was like, man, Triple C, Henry's fucking annoying.
I was like, what's wrong with you? I was like, who?
Hey, but did you like some of my theatrics?
I actually.
The pillows.
At the end of the day, I said, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because now people care.
Yeah.
Now people care. Right. Henry, when the first time you came on, you had the thing on your head, the
crown?
Yeah. No. Don't try to act
the Aztec
crown.
Warrior shit.
Yes, you're Aztec Warrior in Mexico City. I was at the commentary table. I said, boo. Oh, that's some bullshit, man. I was like, what the hell is that doing? Right? Like, it was just different. Yeah. But then when you put the crown on and you threw the snake at TJ Dillashaw, I was like, yo, this dude's out of his mind, but this is good. But you made the right type of... And but then that's a portion of your personality that you elevate. So my YouTube, I'm with this company called The Volume, right? Colin Cowherd, Shannon Sharp, and Draymond Green, all these guys. When I talked to Colin, when they decided they were going to get my YouTube channel, he said, I want you, but I want you to just kind of turn the volume up. Like, turn it up.
Yeah.
You, but with the volume up a little bit. And I go, okay. And that's what I did. I was me, and I would advise these young fighters to be them, but just like tweak the volume a little bit. Like, give them a little portion of personality, and whether they love you or they hate you, they're tapping into what you're doing. And then that ultimately equals money and numbers and fame and fortune and everything else.
Right, right. It's kind of like what you were saying earlier too, DC. It's almost like we just had the conversation. Damn, they're on your neck, Henry. I'm like, yeah. I like it. There's a storyline being built and Sean doesn't know it.
Sean O'Malley's talking about you right now. Fighting the guy that you just fought.
But
he's more worried. Like, he's talking about you right now, which is good, because you go fight one time and you win, he's like,
Or he loses. And there's an opportunity in Arizona.
There's a lot of different elements. But Bilal Muhammad is literally talking Kamaru into the title picture.
Yes, and that's...
I mean...
I made a YouTube video about it. I was saying, man...
He's saying, fight me, Kamaru.
Listen, Bilal is a... What's his name? Thank you that you said his name. I forgot his name. Thank you that you even said his name. No, I you're absolutely right. And DC, this is one thing that I struggled with for a long time, because I always lived by it. I always understood this. With power comes responsibility.
Yep.
And with that is what we do as now, even being entertainers, what we do kind of, it totes that line. It kind of blurs that line a little bit, because now it's like, I know I have a responsibility to the ones coming up behind me. Is this the way that I want to show them that? Because now you have to turn the volume up.
Yep.
And by you turning that volume up, is this what I want to show them?
Yeah, you got to give them a little bit, though.
And this is one thing that I think, like, think about Anthony Johnson.
Yeah.
RIP, my brother AJ, would have been a massive star. He was a big star. Would have been a massive star.
If he knew how to.
I'm sorry, who's
did
this?
Did you know what Anthony Johnson, you saw what Anthony Johnson was doing to guys.
Yeah.
Kicking dudes' heads off. And that's punching. And punching dudes' teeth out in the fight. And you don't even know what he was doing at practice. But AJ never wanted to, he never wanted to talk.
I used to, when him and I would go on our media tours, because we fought twice.
Right.
I would try to goad him into
right.
Yeah, yeah. Mess with me. Put the belt by and pull it away. He's like, oh my God, he's so annoying. He's like literally on ESPN going, this dude is so annoying. Can I be done with him? But it's like, I just was trying to get him to get annoyed, but he wasn't that guy. You know what's the crazy thing about AJ? Bro, Anthony Johnson, before he passed, left me a watch. Me. He left me a watch. The girl, I don't know if he was dating her. He was with her.
It's Julie.
She was like, I have something for you. AJ left. And it was a watch.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. He was a sweet dude. But boy, he could punch. Oh. He could punch like nobody.
Yeah, dangerous.
You fight, boom. I fell. I was like, oh my God, I'm on the ground.
He's like another Francis.
That was fast.
He was like a Francis. Fast.
Yeah.
But I would actually prepare what I was going to do or say before the fights. I would prepare. Dude, Ariel Helwani used to text me stuff and help me build what I was going to say after fights. It was like Paul Heyman in wrestling.
Right.
And I'm a WWE guy, right? It was like I almost had these ideas of what I wanted to say. And so I would have these great after the fight moments.
Hey, you had a couple.
Yeah, they were just
awesome.
Give
me awesome. Your best one. Give me your best one. I know your best one. I think it was probably your best one.
John Jones.
Yep, get it together. It's gonna be a champion.
Get your academics in order.
Oh, that one was good too.
Oh.
In Buffalo, when he was standing next to Jones. What about John Jones? Well, first off, I was trying to cherry pick Jimmy Manoa. Jimmy Manuel.
Hey, don't talk about my dog like that.
I love
bro.
Jimmy. Bro, I tried to cherry pick Jimmy Manuel. He was next to the cage, and I was like, oh, he won two in a row. I just beat Volkan. Volkan was easy. I was like, man, I can get another easy payday out here. Hey. And they said, what about him? I was like, this dude's not even eligible. Like, when he gets his academics in order, he can go back to the classroom. He was mad.
Hey.
His brother was mad, too.
Yeah.
I said, what you going to do? Because he might be able to do something, but you can't do nothing.
You hit, you. So, I remember seeing, I was like, oh.
Got his ass.
Because it was at that time, it was true.
It was true. He was ineligible. You know,
as much as I love John, and obviously, like, we've never seen an athlete like John when it comes to this fighting thing. His understanding.
He's so much smarter than people give him credit for.
Exactly.
And he's tough. He's way tougher than people give him credit for.
Can I tell you something, DC, too? Like, getting a chance to, you know, coach. And because John Jones came to me on six different occasions. Always showed up on time. Was always all eyes and ears. Yes, coach. I'm just like, damn, John, I'm fucking, you know, you can just call me. You know, the dude, you're 100% right, man. The dude has a competitive, he understands the game as a whole, dude. I think that's what makes John Jones better than the rest. He's a better competitor than he is an actual fighter. But talking about John, his fight potentially with Tom Aspinall, obviously you've been there with John. A lot of people are saying that John Jones is the underdog in this. Yeah. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Tom Aspinall can actually do what he says he does?
Well, let me tell you something. Michael Bisping, before Tom Aspinall fought Sergey Pavlovich, he said all kind of crazy shit. He said he's gonna beat John Jones. He moved like Muhammad Ali. He's gonna be the next Muhammad Ali. And I said, Mike, this has to be a gimmick. I said, please tell me. It's a gimmick. You're playing a part. There's no way you believe this. He goes, Daniel, this fight is going to last 2 minutes between him and Sergey. I said, bro, Sergey's knocked out eight dudes in a row. He's knocked out Derek Lewis in a minute. Tom goes and knocks him out. Tom leaves to the back. Bisping's with him. Like, he's part of the camp. They hugging Bisping.
All the UK dudes. They went around together.
So then they go back to the back. So then he gets booked to fight Curtis, who he hurt himself against last time.
Right.
I'm sitting out with Tom Aspinall, and I'm chatting with him. And he tells me, he goes, DC, I haven't seen anything. He goes, I'm about to put it on this dude. I said, but, well, he's fast, and he's big, and he's been at the top of the game. He went at that dude like Curtis was not on his level. Knocked him out. Here's the problem. When we all fought John, you know that the first time I fought John Jones, I was 36 years old. I was 36 years old.
Man.
The first time I fought John Jones. 36 and 38 the second time. He's now what, 37, 38 years old? He was in his mid-20s when he fought all these great legends, but he fought them all when he was in his mid-20s. Now, he'd be on the other side of that coin. Oh, right. This kid's young. Right. He's the older guy. He's been through the wars. It doesn't matter how great you are. When you go through that many battles, it will show. The Gustafson fight. Him and I just bashed the shit out of each other for 8 rounds. Like, we fought, we punched, we
Reyes
kicked.
Reyes fight.
The fight with the last guy, Thiago Santos. All those guys that fought him close. That takes its toll. I think that this kid is as dangerous for him as anyone he's ever been in there with. Partly because that's not his weight class. If he's at 205, no. I bet if he's weighing 215, he would fight Tom Aspinall better than him weighing 245 pounds.
Yeah,
220 in his 205 frame,
right.
He could fight Tom Aspinall better than he'd fight him at that 250 because while he didn't last long with Cyril, he didn't look as fast. He didn't look as...
He carried more weight now.
He carried more weight. And he, you know, Cyril just did some weird stuff. And John, you don't make mistakes against John.
Yeah. So if you're John Jones and you're fighting a guy, if you're fighting a guy like Tom Aspinall, how would you bring the guerrilla war to a guy like Tom? If you're John.
Do exactly what he's doing. He's doing the right thing. He's no selling him.
Right.
Like, he's acting like he does not matter. Make him just angry and just don't give him what he wants. Don't give him what he wants until eventually Yo, did you see the house John Jones just bought?
Hey,
John Jones doing all right, dog. Did you see John Jones' house?
I said congratulations.
John Jones doing all right, man. John Jones don't need Tom Aspinall.
No, he doesn't. Right. But if he was, let's say, dude, because you never
think
know,
should,
man.
You think he should fight this guy?
No, I think he should be done, and I think he deserves. I think he deserves to be done for what he's done with Cena. Because you're right, it's a bigger guy, a different generation, and I will
he's
say
already beat two and generations,
I,
three.
And I will say something about Tom. His lateral movements. He's he's a real heavyweight.
But he
his
can move.
Fakes, his feints. But I will say this. Sergey did clip him. We can say everything that we... Sergey did clip him before he knocked him out.
If he clipped him. But here's the thing. John ain't knocking him out.
No. But could he bring the wrestler grind?
Could he grab him? Could he take wrestler? Him down? He could do all that. Yes. Yeah. But he ain't going to knock this dude out.
I have two opinions on it. One, I don't believe. Yeah, why do you need to
fight? Fight Stipe. You've earned the right to choose who you want
to choose who you want to fight. Exactly. Just like I think John is at the level as far as UFC is concerned, as far as mixed martial arts is concerned.
Don't
John is
no
at
crazy.
The level.
Don't say no crazy.
John is at the level that Conor is at to where he could select.
I thought you were about to say Michael Jordan.
No,
crazy
relax.
Shit like that. To where I'm leaving, man.
But
if you would have said
honest,
that, I was leaving.
To be honest, John is in a sense the Michael Jordan that we've seen in MMA.
No, he isn't.
You don't think so?
You don't the interview?
You don't
so you
think
just
so?
Want to be done?
No, DC, right now, really.
What?
You're going to tell me, going through everything that he has gone through, he's not at that level to where, obviously we're not talking about the outside, but as far as in the sport, John is at that level to where.
So John just, Jones is, so you telling me that John Jones is Michael Jordan and LeBron James at MMA? You going to sit up here real life on
hey,
one, two, three, four, five cameras.
Hey.
Henry.
Hey.
Henry. No,
but let me finish what I'm saying. He's not far from it. He's not far from it. But this what I was
John,
what
my,
I meant
John
to say,
Jones to me is in if I'm talking about a football or basketball equivalent, yes. He is John Jones, and when I'm looking for a sports comp, is a guy who has done so much, but because of all the other stuff,
right? Okay,
it's hard to put him in that rarefied air. Hey, if Michael Jordan was doing illegal stuff, we don't know about it. I can't judge him. George St. Pierre can't judge him. I know of the other stuff. So it's hard for me to say this guy's just sitting up there.
Okay.
Michael Jordan got done playing basketball in 1996, and people still don't want to say somebody's better. There will be a person that comes along that right. People will say replaces John Jones as the greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
He has not left such a legacy that it doesn't feel like it's ever going to be toppled. Jordan left a legacy that is so strong that we have seen LeBron James do what he do. We've seen Kobe do what he do. We have seen these great players, and they're still unwilling to say they're better.
I agree with that. When you put the outside
it's
incidences
because,
in
there.
But no, but I
because I work for ESPN.
No, but I mean as a
sport.
But I mean as a competitor. As a competitor inside the sport.
I respect him.
He's And this is how I feel too about the Tom Aspinall fight. Mm-hmm. One, he doesn't need to because he's done everything.
It's too dangerous
too,
man.
Go ahead and fight. But if he does get motivated, if there's any one guy that can do it, I think John can.
I think that's what he does, right? I think when you the bigger the challenge, the better he prepares.
Absolutely.
But then this lends this question: people seem to be looking past Stipe. Everybody's looking past Stipe.
True.
So will he not train himself as hard? Because if he looked past Stipe, Stipe's a bad boy. Yep. Stipe Miocic is a bad boy. He hits hard. He's not slow. He can wrestle. He's got good cardio. And Stipe's not a quitter. That's going to be a tougher fight for John Jones than people even imagine.
I agree. Now, one thing that I wanted to touch on a little bit too, because you are a father like myself,
yeah,
like Henry. And, you know, you are a father that has experience some tragedy,
yep,
in that realm of being a father. You know, you lost one of your children,
yep,
and in the middle of while still competing,
yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
That was hard dealing with that when you competed.
Because my brother Francis,
yeah,
is in a similar situation right now.
Yeah, it's
now.
Hard. We had a great Francis and I had a great conversation.
Oh, that's
and I told
cool,
him.
Man.
If there's any time he wants to speak about trying to, because you have to compartmentalize it.
Right.
it can't live at the forefront of your mind whenever you're trying to accomplish something great. It's impossible. It's so hard. Because when my daughter passed and I was getting ready for the World Championships, I would just cry. If things went wrong in practice, I would just cry. I had this great sports psychologist at the Olympic Training Center named Kirsten, I think her name was. Was her name KP?
I think so. Something like that.
Yeah. Kirsten or something like that. Oh, yeah.
Doctor, was it Dr.
Kirsten? And her last name was
right?
With a P. Yep.
Yeah.
She taught me how to channel it. And that's what Francis is going to have to do. He's going to have to find a way to channel all the emotion that he feels daily and apply it to his training, his goals, and his expectation of himself. Because honestly, man, it's hard to truly expect the best when all you're doing is hurting. Like, literally, you're hurting every day to even get out of bed. But you know that you're trying to build a life. So by getting up every morning, going to her before I would go to practice, getting a way to start my days, it allowed for me to take my daughter, Kaden, and make her my motivation. But man, it was only, I had 3 months when my daughter passed to wrestle.
Yeah, Francis
has a very short time. Huh?
You had to wrestle off in Fargo, right?
I had to wrestle off in Fargo after 7 weeks to try and make a world team when my daughter passed away. But he's going to have to try to channel it, man, and just rely on people. And then really truly ask himself, what is his expectation? Does he expect to still be the best in the world? Right. Is he okay with knowing that if he falls short, he's not letting his son down? Like, that's a lot of, there are a lot of things that you got to kind of put into perspective before you can truly go and try to accomplish a great thing.
Right. And speaking of that and children and family, you know, your brother Kane is fighting a tough fight right now.
Yeah, he is.
With, obviously, for those that don't know the situation that happened with his family and his child and him doing the things that he did, I always try to kind of put myself in someone's situation to kind of get a better understanding of what they might be dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And every part of me, I want to say that I, as rational as I am, every part of me would think about the consequences of what I would do in that aspect. But especially with us, we this is what we do.
Yeah.
That's our job, is to protect and provide. So knowing that when something like that happens, all bets are off.
Well, like Dana even said this, we all say it. Right. But when put in that situation, do we go through with it? Kane did. And now he is ready to stand up and take his consequence. You know, he went to jail for a while. Bro, it was the saddest thing. Right. Like, I would go there and I would sit with him. And the things we spoke about, it was so crazy because to me, he was the reason I knew I could be world champ. Because out of our gym, he made it possible to dream that big. Right. Watching the way he worked, watching how committed he was to becoming the best in the world, I knew that I could be the best. Then I sat there, and you go to jail, right? And there's this glass thing in between you and the person you get on the phone, right? We would just sit on the phone, and every time I would get there, right, he still came. He'd be like, wipe it, before I would pick the phone up to start talking. And we'd have these great conversations, man. We'd get like an hour before I would have to leave, right, because I think they only get that. And we would talk about, like, what he was eating, what he's doing. You know, he was spending so much time by himself, 23 hours a day by himself. Because of the confinement they had.
So was he Max?
No, it wasn't Max. It was the county, but, like, the celebrity aspect of it. They didn't want to put him in general population. So he had to kind of stay by himself all the time. He said he would watch the fights through like his thing, because like most days he was like by himself. So he are in that cell. So he could see the TV up at an angle and he would watch fights and stuff. And we talk about the fights and stuff. So he's been home now for a while and he's on house arrest. He's coaching at AKA. He's done a tremendous job getting the guys prepared. But the best thing about his situation is when you're out on house arrest, you get your time served that you're actually out, but you get additional for being at house arrest and doing things the right way. So I think it might be like 1 month out is like literally 2 months serving. So he's probably done almost 4 years of actual time now before he goes to his sentencing, which is coming up very soon.
I saw that. I saw that. So do you know when the trial's actually taking place?
I think it's like a month before he goes to, he already pleaded. So he's going to get sentenced.
Damn.
So, I mean, and I think he said he doesn't know what's going to happen, but, you know, we're all pretty sure that there's going to be some sort of jail time. You hope that it's not going to be a lot because he's been doing the right things since he got out.
Right. I mean, what a heartbreaking situation just being, because we
but
all...
for all like of them, said, right? Him, the family, like the stepdad that got shot. Like, it's just a bad situation all around, but... you do hope, or you do wonder aloud, would you do the same thing? Because that's what you've been always told. Your job as a man is to take care of your family at all costs. Yeah.
DC, you've got a lot of accolades. I named, obviously, quite a few of them all throughout. At the beginning of this sit down. But right now, being multiple time world champion, mm-hmm. high school state champion, All-American, world medals. What drives you?
You know, I think for us as, we're like high thinking, high accomplishing people. We have to have things that we pursue.
Right.
If we don't have those things that we pursue, we die. I really believe that the moment you stop chasing something, you die. And maybe you don't die physically, but something inside you dies.
Right.
So for me, it's about becoming the best broadcaster I can be, continuing to excel in growing my media. I started doing this thing, and I take a lot of pride in this. Like, we have some of the best broadcasters in the world. I'm talking Felder and Dominic Cruz and Michael Bisping and so many other great analysts and broadcasters. We all started this thing together, right? I take pride in knowing that when we were at Fox, I worked myself up to hosting UFC Tonight. I worked myself off the desk next to the commentary table. Now I've worked myself to the point that I'm on all the pay-per-views. I chase growing my media career. I think that if I don't chase things, I'm done. So yeah, that's my drive is providing for my family, for my children, but also still competition. I want to be better than the next guy. And I believe that every one of those guys want to be better than me, because if they're not, the product suffers. And none of us want the product to suffer. And then I coach wrestling. Yeah, like that's my
stuff. And that's including pound for pound. We're coming for the good guy and the bad guy.
Okay. Hey, you can definitely do that. you guys,
is that
you guys,
right, Chris? Hey, come on, pal.
You guys do a great job. You guys, dude, you guys have done a great job. I watch constantly. And you know what I've done? Something he doesn't do for me. Every time you guys put out an episode, swear it. I'll show you my.
Hey, I'm salty. I'm salty.
No, I'll show you. I'll show you my text messages. My YouTube channel. Daniel Cormier TV.
Right.
I need views. I like views. Good guy, bad guy does fine. It's ESPN. It's always going to do really, really well. My stuff, love views. You guys have a new podcast, Pound for Pound? Let's see this. Kamaru Usman, let's look at this.
You going
to
go to the phone?
I send him this text.
You going to go to the phone?
I send him this text. You know what I've sent him? He's got 10 texts from me. Every text is a video of me watching 2 minutes of Pound for Pound so that you guys get a view. Every time, every episode, I send him a video of me watching 2 minutes of Pound for Pound so that you guys get a view. How many times have you done that for me?
That what is it? You have to watch 2 minutes for it to count? I didn't know that.
See?
I've been watching DC and Good Guy, Bad Guy so long, but
you're lying.
I've been watching it. I'm thinking.
You know what he told me? He goes, yeah, that little bit of time doesn't even count.
Hey.
I said, you see, you're ungrateful.
DC, I've been watching.
Guys, everybody in the back that run this, I watch 2 minutes of every episode to make sure you guys get a view.
All right.
The only episode I ever turned around, I turned off the Canelo episode. Kamaru was acting scared. I hated it.
Wow.
Apologizing.
When did I apologize?
Okay, I watched the entire
Sean O'Malley episode. I never apologized.
Hey, no, Kamaru, I did watch the entire Sean O'Malley episode.
Hey.
Fucking idiot.
No, but I'm glad you said that, though. It's I think on this side now, getting it to be on this side to where you're not that. Because when you're a fighter, you're an artist, and every you're hypersensitive. Yeah. Everything that is said, you feel it.
Man, I'm thinking about it right now. You've done some numbers for me.
So
let me pull it up real quick. You've done some numbers for me, boy.
So on this side now, it's just an understanding to where you're just like, you understand what a fighter feels when you say something or you do something for it. So it's
pull up some numbers
now. So now it's understanding that, and it's just a higher understanding to know that a fighter's gonna feel a certain type of way with what you said and how you feel. And if I'm not in that spirit at that time, I'm gonna let it be known. I'm gonna be honest.
Well,
about
fighters
it.
Are sensitive.
Extremely.
Bro, they're extremely
you have to be.
Sensitive.
You have to be.
Sean O'Malley, one of them.
You have to be, though.
You better stop, man. I talked to him yesterday about you. He said he just don't like your face.
Hey, let's go back to that thing when I called his ass out when he was doing the media. You ready? You ready?
When?
But he was stumbling. He was doing media.
No, he was doing
it was like a show in the office, dude. I called him out. Hey, I want a tune-up fight, Sean. I think you absolutely suck. And he just kind of like, I just shook him. And I think ever since then, you know, I'm trying to make that bread. You know what I mean? If you don't fight the Great White Hope, I mean, there's a lot of pay-per-view points. Ain't that right, DC?
You just call him the Great White Hope?
That dude,
Henry. Henry's so disrespectful.
Yeah, what's wrong with Henry, bro? Henry has no filter.
So disrespectful.
104, 152, 165.
There we go. 150, 160, 100. Hey, that Kamaru Usman, boy.
Hey.
Every time. Hey, man. Hey, you know what? I think I need to abuse our friendship. I'm ready right now. When you fighting again?
Wow.
Ready to abuse your friendship. Hey,
you know me and you, we go way back. And we,
for sure.
You know, and one of the things that I would actually have to say is I'm so appreciative of our relationship because being able to grow up watching you guys and having you guys kind of be that representation, you, King Mo, Rashad Evans, be that representation, the figures to where even though I was there competing alongside you guys at some point, I still was that kid that looked up and was like, oh man, they did that. Maybe I can do that. So being in the position that I am now and still having your friendship, and I think we're closer now than
ever.
We've ever been.
Yeah, I know. We talk on the phone.
Yeah, so to have that friendship.
Why do you guys all FaceTime though?
Because
it is the weirdest thing. I've never seen so many men FaceTime.
Because for me, I guess it's a little paranoia type deal.
You think I got you on the phone with somebody else?
Why would I
do that to you?
I want to see your, and plus it's different. It's different. There's layers to a conversation, and that's what we've realized over time. At one point, it was when you talked on the phone, you could hear the tone, you could hear the emotions, it was completely different. We know it's different from text. You text somebody, they don't know the tone, you don't get it. But I want to see your face.
Why, everybody? I mean,
especially if I'm talking to my brother, and I want to see how you laugh at whatever
you react,
I say. How you react?
I want to
see that.
Yeah, a good reaction is quality.
So I want to see all of that. So, and you're mad about it?
No,
I love
saying,
you that much. You think I FaceTime everybody,
bro? No, bro, but like, dude, it's Ali's guys. It's Ali's guys.
Oh, what? Me, him, and Justin?
You, my Justin, brother. Khabib, Umar. You guys all FaceTime.
Well, that's exactly that. Just
you probably
to
get
what
it from
I'm
Ali,
saying.
Man.
That just a test.
Ali,
that is
FaceTime.
What I'm saying is you're so special to all of us,
man. Get
to
what, the
fuck
out
of
here.
Are you going to say right now? You're going to say right now. You don't feel like you're special to Khabib.
I love every one of y'all.
You don't
y'all,
feel
all
like you're special to Khabib.
But I don't.
You don't know that you're special.
We can just talk. We can talk on the phone. Yeah, you're my brother, y'all.
Nah, I want to see your face.
Yeah,
I want to see him laugh.
Well, DC, I just want to give you my flowers, bro. Thank you for you know, for being the first Olympic wrestler to really take it to the next level, to become champion. Thank you, my brother. And I followed it. And I know sometimes whenever it is that I do need like that hard advice, I'll call Daniel.
Yeah, you give me a little
you know
call,
what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, hey, man, what do you think? Should I retire? Like, nah, you still, man, got
you
it.
Still got it. I'm like, what are you doing?
So just certain things like that.
At the end of the day, like when you're done, you're done.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm done. I could not imagine them saying, I want to give you this amount of money to fight. I'd be like, no, can't train. When you still have it, you got to use it.
Yeah.
Because there's going to come a day where it's not there anymore. See, for me, I'm lucky. I still get to be a part of the show.
Yeah.
That's the beauty in the commentary. I walk through the crowd. Hey, I still get the hands waving at me. Yeah. I still get that.
Yeah, you're still most the double champ. Huh? You still feel like the double
but
champ?
But most, no.
No, no.
That dude would eat me alive. That crazy son of a bitch would eat me alive. I was crazy. But now I'm happier than I've ever been, though.
Yeah.
Life is good, man.
Yeah.
Life is good, bro. Like, in this... I'm just a kid from Lafayette, Louisiana, from the north side of Lafayette, too, which ain't the best. And it's, I'm blessed, man. I'm lucky. I'm going to the Sphere. I'm going to the Sphere, bro. I'm going to get to watch a fight in 3D. And all I can think about is how that's going to happen. But I'm going. I'm going to actually get to watch a fight in 3D. We live in an alternate universe, dog.
My brother, I mean, it's. We can't say enough of what you mean to us and what you mean to the sport.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of mixed martial arts and what you meant to the sport of wrestling. I mean, you know, from Henry, from myself, from the fans all around the world, and of course, those little boys and girls that are looking up and watching you, knowing that you give us that representation. I want to say thank you.
My brother.
Oh, man, thank you for coming to sit with
Uncle
us, too.
Uncle DC.
You know, I love you this, like man. That? Thank you. Like hey, that? Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Guys, keep supporting these boys. They're doing great work. I appreciate y'all, man, for everything y'all done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Also, go to my stuff. Go to my YouTube because I need likes, subscriptions. I need all that. I need Kamaru owes me an interview. Look, I'm just messing with you, man. I love you guys so much, man. Thank you for having me. And go Gilroy Mustangs.
My brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. As always, from all of us here at Pound for Pound, make sure you like, you subscribe, and guys, your comments, it means a lot to us. Even though I don't like it all, it means a lot to us. So make sure you like, subscribe, and leave your comments. All right, guys, we are out.